If you find this podcast, this is for you. Our lives are written in ink. There are no backspaces, cancels, or delete buttons. But beauty and redemption emerge when we embrace our ink-stained imperfections and share them with one another. This is how we find our strength. This is how we renew our resolve. This is how we overcome. You're listening to the Inkfully Podcast, and I'm your host, Tanya Woods. Hello, hello, hello. What is going on, you guys? Wow, it has been several months. I can't believe that since I have last sat down at this mic. And I'm not gonna lie, it feels a little bit intimidating. But nevertheless, I'm here and I think you are really going to enjoy this bonus episode today. So before we go there, I wanna just talk to you guys, catch up a little bit and give you a little backstory. So if you've been tracking with me on Instagram, you know a lot has been going on the past few months. And if you haven't, come hit me up, come find me on Instagram at Inkfully, a little shameless plug right there. But anyway, so since our launch, we had some really good episodes and then there was a big break. And in that break, I was invited to speak at a few podcasting conferences. And I've actually been speaking and sharing my story and talking about the art and the power of storytelling. And that has just been nothing short of amazing. The way that God has opened up those doors has been truly, truly incredible. And what that has allowed me to do is truly like face my fears, reclaim my identity, and it has reignited my purpose and has allowed me to take up all the space. Okay, so it's been incredible. But simultaneously, I've also been having some of the hardest struggles that I've had in my life, particularly with my mental health. As you guys know on this show, I've been really open and vulnerable about my struggles with anxiety and depression, and those things have become like full-fledged like things and processes that I'm trying to work through in my life right now. So that has been the journey the last few months, and it's been really difficult to even return to this space and return to this show. But I can honestly say to you guys that I'm on the journey, I'm being gracious with myself, and I'm just so happy to be back here, sitting here with you. So we'll touch on that more later as season two develops. But like I said, on today's special bonus episode, you're going to hear a live recording on the stage at PodFest 2020. This is so dope, y'all. So I was at PodFest 2020 just this past weekend, and in honor of International Women's Day, I pulled three other women to come join me on the stage to have a raw, organic, vulnerable conversation. These women are also fellow podcasters, and I didn't even know them before we hopped on the stage. And we discussed everything from our greatest achievements to our childish tendencies to colorism and even Kobe Bryant. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Listen in. Okay, what is going on, ladies?
Hey!
Thank you for joining me today on the stage. We are here at PodFest 2020, living Woo-hoo! Our entire best lives.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so this is gonna be a really dope experience. I'm so excited to have you guys up here. I just pulled three ladies out of nowhere, out of our PodFest fam here, to have a completely organic conversation. We're going to do some conversation cards and go have some laughs, have some tears, maybe have some deep revelations.
Some real moments.
Okay. So this is going to be really fun. I literally don't even know everyone's name. So we are going to really learn some things about each other today. So I'm excited. So I'm going to start over here. Over here is my girl, Martina. I do know your name. So Martina, introduce yourself, girl. Tell us about your show.
Okay, so my name is Martina Lindo, and I am from Full Bloom, and it's a podcast for millennials on a journey to finding their purpose and pursuing passions. And I started the show because I'm a millennial who was trying to find their purpose and pursue passions. So I really got into this space because I realized that we are really not being intentional about our lives in a lot of ways. We're just kind of going through the motions. And I really wanted to take a pause and, like, be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I realized there were a lot of people that weren't doing that. And so I just started talking to people about their journeys. And I was like, wait, I need to share this. So that's how I came to Full Bloom, because I'm in that season where I feel like I'm blooming. Like, I'm coming into the person that I love. Yes. And she's beautiful.
Martina has this infectious smile. I wish you could see it. And I just love it. Your eyes, like, you smile with your whole face.
I smile with the whole face.
So I love that. Okay. Next to my right, woo-hoo, introduce yourself, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Ella Turen, and I am the founder and co-host of the podcast Femme on Films. Femme is the Haitian Creole word for women. And myself and my co-host, Martine Jean, we have this platform to highlight the work of Haitian creatives in film and television. So we review shows, film and television, but we also bring on Haitian creatives, directors, actors, sound folks to talk about their journey, their process, their creativity, and to give us, like, the behind-the-scenes tidbits of what they do. Yes, all the stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And we decided to start the podcast because we're filmmakers, and we love film, we love television, and specifically for people who are Haitian, who are related to those industries, we knew that they were out there, but people don't know about them, and we wanted to give them a platform to showcase their work.
Yeah. Love that. Love it, love it, love it. And we were talking for a quick minute about how that can be that can expand outside of the Haitian culture
exactly,
so much.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So, you know, people who are movie lovers in general will enjoy stuff. Like, we actually did a podcast about Black Panther. And we related it back to the Haitian Revolution and how there were connections to the diaspora. So we do talk about more general things than just Haiti. And sometimes there are films that we review that have Haitian people in it, but it's not about Haiti at all. It's just a good movie that happens to have Haitian people in it.
Love that. Love that.
Awesome.
All right, you're up, girl.
Yes. Last but not least, my name is Shanopa. I am the membership director for Black Pod Collective, which is an organization.
Shout out to them. Which is an organization
that was started in Atlanta last year to fill the void of adequate representation among African Americans in podcasting. Because, frankly speaking, we know that podcasting is an industry that is booming, but sometimes we just don't have the resources and the education that we need to break into it. So that's exactly what Black Pod Collective aims to do. I am also one half of High Key Woke Podcast. And so me and my good friend and co-host, we talk about issues in corporate America, politics, and culture that affect the Black experience. So very simply, we started the podcast because we were two friends at work that were just tired of venting towards each other. So we created a platform.
I love that, ladies. Okay, so really quick, I know I said a little bit about myself, but let me tell you guys about my show.
Yes, please.
Thank you, I know. So I'm the host, I'm Tanya, I'm the host of the Inkfully podcast, so that's Inkfully, and it's essentially based on this premise that our stories were never meant to be erased, right? Yeah. So our lives are stained in ink, there's no backspaces, there's no cancels or delete buttons, but when we finally get to the point where we can, like, grab hold of our story and release that to the world and realize it's a vehicle to not allow our own self-healing but allow other people to feel seen, heard, and understood, then we can truly, like, build community and connect with each other in a way that no matter what race we are, no matter where we come from, we have this opportunity to just build each other up. Yeah, so on my podcast, we literally just have stories. And I do focus on women because that's just where I feel like my wheelhouse is. But I'm really open to, actually in our next season, expanding that to couples and having men on to give their perspective on even women issues, marriage, motherhood, mental health, dating, identity crises, and for millennials, like all kinds of things that we deal with. So, yeah, I've loved it so far. It's been a journey. But, yeah, here we are.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So what we're going to do today, this is really, I just love this. It's completely organic. We had these cards on the table. They're conversation cards. And I was like, we're coming on the stage. What are we going to talk about? Like, oh my God. It's heaven sent. So we have conversation cards. So we're going to just answer from the heart. You don't know what's coming. I don't know. I don't even know what's coming. I don't know what's on these cards.
Here we go. Here we go.
We're going to answer some questions. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to start with you, Martina. Let me shuffle them around. Here we go. And this is, it's not a sponsor, but they need to be. This is Poddex, poddex.com.
Interview Dex.
Okay, you guys need to pay me for that. All right, here we go.
We managed to make a plug on
I mean, we're using their content, so we should. Okay. So, here we go. What do you consider to be your greatest achievement?
Oh, gosh. Honestly, like, after I had my son in 2018, coming back from that experience, and you do have to come back after giving birth.
Don't trigger me.
I know that's a trigger for you, but it's really something that I have come into. Like, after I had him, I just, like, was thrust into motherhood, and I felt like, okay, is this the only thing that I can be now? And so a lot of my dreams and things that I, you know, aspired to do, it felt like I needed to pause. And I gave myself a few months, but then, I don't know, I came in, and that's actually after I had that epiphany, that's when I started the podcast. Mm. And I went into this, like, this just season of blooming, basically, yes. Where I was like, no, like, motherhood is not where it stops. Like, girl, you got so much to do.
Yes, so much more.
And so people ask me all the time, like, they were like, you know, after you had Nation, it seems like you just started doing everything. I was like, yep. Because I realized that my life is starting now because I have this child who's looking at me to figure out how to live his life.
And he's watching kids and watch everything.
Yes, he is. He picks up everything. So it's like, now I have this obligation to be my best self because I know he's watching.
Yes.
So I think, honestly, that's the greatest achievement I've accomplished. Like, going to school and doing all this stuff, like, you just need to be disciplined and do your work. That's not an achievement. That's an expectation. You know what I mean? But for me, coming back to myself and feeling better about who I am, that is the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I love that. That's awesome. That's good. I love that. Okay. Do you guys want to take... So should we do different questions, or do you want to take this question?
I can take this question.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's kind of similar. I think when I finally became my own boss...
Yeah.
...was the greatest achievement, because it was hard. I think I did all the things that you were supposed to do. I went to school. I had a great job. I was doing well. And I'm an artist. So there was always a tug of war for me between my artist self and my 9-to-5 self.
Yeah.
And many times I justified it by saying my 9-to-5 was funding my art.
Yep.
Which was true. Yeah. And I appreciate it greatly for all the years that it did that for me. But that was still not my time.
Yeah.
And so as I progressed up in my career, I knew that I was going to hit a point where there was going to be a fork in the road. Yeah. And I was going to have to make a decision. Either keep going up this path that's prescribed to you, that is safe, it's basically safe, or go the route where you feel like you're on your growing edge, which is just at the point where you're starting to feel like those butterflies in your stomach, it's stretching you. But that's where you always want to be, because that's the place where you grow. That's because the place where you could become your best self and bloom. So the point where I did that and I quit my job last August was like one of the scariest things that I've ever done.
Exciting.
And the first week that I woke up, where I was deciding for myself what I could do, was amazing. And then there was a point, I remember specifically one day, I had like, I'm a voice actor, so I had like an audition, and I was like going to an improv class, and like my day was full of just creative things.
Yeah.
And I was like frazzled. I was like, I'm running back and forth, and then I paused for a moment, and I was like, but this is the life.
This is what you wanted.
This is what I wanted. And I was like, I finally manifested it for myself. And that was the best feeling. I was like, that is my greatest achievement.
That is amazing. I think that speaks volumes. To get paid to do the work you love.
Yes.
Like, that's, I feel like we all, especially in here, we all aspire to do that. Yes. You know, I'm still waiting for it.
Yes. It's coming for you. We're putting it out. Claim it and receive it.
Go ahead.
So, I might have the most unpopular response to this, because I think I'm currently living towards my greatest accomplishment. I'm in a season where I'm doing a lot of rediscovering, identifying my purpose, what I want to do. So I don't have a complete answer to that right now, but I do know that I'm in my process. And I'm celebrating my process at the moment, and it feels great. Because I'm also getting to that place where I'm like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life making somebody else's dream come true when I can make my dream come true and also, you know, impact people as well. So I'm still in the process, but you know, I have faith that at some point we will be able to hit it on the nail.
It'll be there.
And I would say, like, really stay focused on how you feel every step of the way. Like, your spirit will speak to you very clearly about what you're supposed to be
100%
doing. And if you just keep, like, just pressing forward with those little inclinations, those curiosities, it's going to lead you to what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Man, that actually reminds me, even within this topic of, like, listen, I'm not there yet. Like, I feel like sometimes we sell our own dreams short because we can see someone else's vision better than ourselves.
Yes.
Has that ever happened to you? Like, there be times where, like, if I literally put my podcast on a LinkedIn as a, like, career opportunity, and it was named something else, and it was like, do you want to work for us and, like, you know, host our podcast and do XYZ and speak on our behalf? I'd be like, ooh, oh my gosh, I could be an intern. And then I was like, why can't you do that for yourself? Like,
right.
It's like we see someone else's vision more clear sometimes than we see our own.
100%.
Yeah. And so
100%.
I feel like it's that thing we were talking about with imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome.
It's just like you really think that, oh, I'm not good enough for this.
Yes.
I can't. But then when you put it and frame it in the context of somebody else's dream or somebody else's thing, then all of a sudden it becomes attainable or achievable because it doesn't fall on you if it doesn't work out.
Like you're
just a part of it, so it's not on you. But when it's your thing and it doesn't work out, you feel this sense of, like, fear that makes you feel like you just can't do it because, you know, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, then it was your fault.
But if you you're blaming yourself,
and then it's like you prove to yourself, oh, I wasn't good enough for this.
Right.
But if you're doing it for somebody else, you kind of have a fallback, like, well, what am I anyway, you know?
Well, for me, like, I work a lot with students in my previous job, and I was like their biggest cheerleader. So always telling them to go for whatever they wanted. You could do whatever you want. You can do all this stuff. I'm like, everybody else is cheerleader.
Yes.
But then when it gets to me, I'm like, well, I don't know. And I told myself, I was being hard on myself. We're our own worst critics.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, you're kind of a hypocrite if you tell everybody else they can do whatever they want and you don't do it for yourself.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I be an example, just like you're talking about with Nation, like how can I be an example for people who I want to succeed if I'm not doing that first for me?
You
have to. It's like you have to walk in alignment and be living in your values.
Right.
I think also what I've learned for myself, you'll know when you're delaying. Because something will happen, at least me personally, I know something triggered me where I was like, okay, you can't keep delaying. You're delaying and somebody is waiting on the other side of your, you know, your first step or your obedience, whatever the case may be. And so sometimes something tragic will happen that will like remind you that you're delaying and you need to get on assignment.
I would say too, after Kobe Bryant died, I was jolted into action.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this man had so much life left to live and he had already done so many amazing things. And I literally said, I was like, girl, you need to get it together. You are
killing
yourself if you think you got all the time in the world.
That's so true.
It thrusted me out of my pity party in a lot of ways. Like, girl, get up, go.
Yeah.
So.
I think that one thing that's been speaking to me lately, because on my platform on Instagram and also my podcast, I'm really vulnerable with my struggles with mental health, so depression and anxiety, and how it can be paralyzing sometimes. Like, I've been going at this thing for a minute now, from before a podcast, like online community, and it feels like I'm making very slow progress forward. My point was that the work we're doing is not just for us.
Yes.
I think when you start, it's cathartic in a sense. Like, you feel like you're getting it out for you.
Yes.
But what I'm starting to realize in my work and what I do and how I show up is like, this is not just for you. There's people on the other side of your message, of your platform, of that you've been given, that actually need what you're doing. So you're doing them a disservice by saying, being like, I can't show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Granted, getting the therapy, getting the help, working on me, you have to do those things. But like, when I am getting past the point where it's like, this is not just for me. Oh, snap. Like, someone else's healing is on the other side of this. That helps me to show up, you know.
Yeah. And I said this yesterday in my session. Like, this has become a mantra of mine. Your purpose is not for you.
100%.
Your purpose is for other
100%.
People. Your passion, that's for you. Enjoy it. Live in it. Lavish.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, enjoy that experience. But your purpose is to serve other people. That's why
that's
we
good.
Were on this earth.
Yeah.
And so once you connect to that purpose, then your life has begun to have so much more meaning.
Yes.
You feel like this weight lifted off of you mentally, because that's why we were created, to serve. Yeah. And so I think a lot of times we are thinking about ourselves way too much. Yeah. And that's why we
take
don't
yourself out of it. Yeah, one of my theater professors used to have this saying that he would say during our productions, because people would be like, oh, thinking about my line and my part. Yeah. And he'd be like, it's not about you. It's not about, this is an ensemble. It's about community. It's about what everybody contributes for everybody else.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So true.
Okay.
Talk all day on that one.
Y'all ready to go deep?
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay.
Speaking of Kobe. How would you like the world to remember you when you die?
Oh, God.
I told you.
You know what? I think I can answer this.
Okay.
I really want people to feel inspired to live their best life through watching my life.
Okay.
And it's just like, but not just in a superficial sense, oh, she got money, she doing this, she that.
Right.
No, it's not about that. It's I've embraced who I am as an individual, and one, recognize I'm not for everybody, and I'm okay
right.
with that.
That's totally fine.
Yes. Yeah, like, if you don't rock with me, that's cool. Like, you know, you do you, I'll do me. But, like, I want people to remember that, I was a woman of faith. Like, I stood by my beliefs, and I was okay with you not being okay with how I felt about something. But, like, just be yourself and be okay with whoever that self is and live that life unapologetically. So I want people to feel that way about themselves.
So that's what we're going to be saying at your eulogy.
Yeah, man. Girl, she made me live my best life.
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully no time soon when you're 125.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
So I would say I would piggyback on the authenticity part because that's something that I talk about a lot, just being who you are. I know for myself, when I was younger, I was always the awkward person. Like, awkward black girl, that was me. Bullied and all of that for it. But then I got to college, and I was like, I'm just going to be the weirdo artist person over there. Mm. And then I discovered, like, it was okay. Everybody just accepted. And I was like, all this time I was worrying, I could have just been myself and been fine with
it.
So that would definitely be one thing, to just be who you are and be out there with it. Like, live it 100. Yeah. But I think the other thing, too, is I want to be known as somebody who's there for other people.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, we talked about serving. So whether it is that I'm a good friend or I'm a good sister or a daughter or a cousin or an auntie, I want to be known as the person who's like, if I needed Ella, like, I could go to her and she would have my back. And to me, that, like, would be really fulfilling, that people felt like I was a person that they could depend on, rely on. They could have my ear. That's something that's important to me.
That's good.
So I think for me, I think about three things. The first being, I want people to always remember how I made them feel. And that means that I need to be always doing the very best that I can be to make people feel, the best that they can be, right? Yeah. So it requires some accountability on my part to make sure that I'm constantly treating people the right way, because I want you to remember how I made you feel when I was walking on this earth. And then secondly, I want people to remember that I was walking in purpose, that I identified my purpose. We're not going to say early on or late on, but I identified my purpose at some point, and I made clear what my purpose was, and I was walking in my purpose up until I breathed my last breath. Yeah. So that's it for me.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's good. What about you?
Thank you for asking.
What about you?
No. Honestly, I just want for people to all gather and say, like, she made me feel seen, heard, and understood.
Yeah.
I think what we want is really what I want to give is what I need the most,
back.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm an empath, I'm a deep feeler, and those are the most validating things to me, is when I feel seen, heard, and understood. If I could literally have one moment of connection with every single person in my life, or every person in this room, even if it's just for, like, 3 seconds or 1 second, and, like, look you in the eye, and that something about it, whether it was a laugh or a mutual connection or a touch on the shoulder, that makes you feel seen, heard, and understood. I feel like, you know, and loved by God. Like, again, I'm a faith-based woman, so loved by God, and knowing ultimately that goes back to Him. You are already seen. You're already known. You're already heard and understood by God, whether or not society validates that or not. Then that would be really, really, like, okay, I'm getting emotional. I ain't trying to go nowhere no time soon.
You said right. You did.
I know. Okay, well, let's switch it up. Okay? Here we go. What is the most childish thing that you still do?
Oh, Lord.
I'll start on this side this time. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. The most childish thing that I still do. Golly. I have several that I am thinking about. I don't know how embarrassed I want to get. The most childish thing that I still do. Oh, Jesus. I definitely still sleep with stuffed animals.
I have a big enough bed
that we can accommodate. You know, we can all. You know.
What do you have? How many do you have?
How many?
Yes.
I have like two. It ain't bad. One is on the larger end. But you know, but to be fair, my mother bought it for me when I was really young. Yeah. So I don't ever want to part with it. I'm gonna be married, and I'm gonna be like. What are you talking about?
Make room.
But that's, yeah, the sleeping with the stuffed animals is still a thing for me. Yeah. They don't bother me. It's just there, you know? So.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of, which I don't know if people would equate with being childish, is I still walk around in my apartment just in my undies and a t-shirt.
That's
to be comfortable. Honestly, I mean, kids are kind of like free and like whatever. And I like that feeling of like.
It's liberating.
Yeah, right?
That's living your best life.
So that is living my best life. But I'm just like, that's comfortable moment right here.
Okay, I think I have three. And if my husband was here, he'd be like clapping and singing. Yeah, yeah. So the first thing, I don't know if this is too much information, but I still run to the bathroom. Like, I will hold my pee for so long because I don't want to miss out on something.
So
and
funny.
I'm just there like, oh, I got to go. And then, like, it'll catch me. Probably
not the only one that does that.
I can see you doing that. Like, I can see you doing that right now, actually.
And shaking while she's doing it, right? Like, get on with it already.
Yeah, I really just, that's something I do all the time. And then the second thing is I let my phone die all the time.
Oh,
it's so childish. And it's so irresponsible, and like I get cussed out about it all the time. You don't know what could happen on the road. Put your phone on the charger, like all the time. So, and the last thing is, I still play around in my food if I don't want it.
So, like, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
So, like, if I don't want it, I'll just like kind of like move it around.
So this is how we know.
This is how we know.
Oh my gosh,
those are
so
good.
Funny.
That's really good.
I'm childish, and I know.
And I know it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I can't think of like child. The first thing that comes to my mind is that I start like binge watching on like Bieber and like Selena Gomez like information on YouTube. Like, what are you doing? It's 3 a.m. and you have a whole 3 children to raise. And you're over here caring about what these like little children are doing.
You can shut your, it requires not that much thinking. Which sometimes you need.
I get really passionate. Yeah. I'm like, but why didn't they work? Like, I'm trying to understand.
I was really broken up about it. And honestly, this is gonna sound really bad, but I'm hoping that they'll still be a thing one day.
No, girl. It was toxic. It was toxic.
I
grieved all I could grieve. And I had to let it go. You know, he's moved on. Anyways.
I know. Oh,
I love this. It was cute.
Okay. let me think. Let's see. What's the next one? All right, we'll keep it light. So what was the kind of light? What was the last thing that you were envious of?
You know, that it's sad to say, or maybe just owning it, but it happens more often than I would like to give myself credit for, because like I recognize that when I start feeling envious, it's usually an imposter syndrome thing.
Yes.
Ooh, and it just gets like, I just start looking at other people. I'm like, oh, but they're doing all this and they're doing that, and what am I doing with my life? And then I go to the extreme, and I go all the way to the place like, I'm not doing anything with my life.
Oh my God.
I'm not doing anything. I just suck. Just forget it. I'm just done with everything. And I have to like take steps back to be like, no, that's their thing. They're in their lane.
Yeah.
And they're doing great. And I'm happy for them. And I'm glad that they're getting all the accolades, and they got written up for something, and they got an award. And then I'm going to pivot and go back to my lane. And keep it moving on what I'm doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So
good.
I can't think of a specific thing right now, but I know that when it comes up for me, I know that I have to dial it back and try to appreciate what that person has
so that I can appreciate what I have.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else?
I think I would say, and this is probably most obvious that we can all relate to, is when you're looking at least for me and my co-host, our podcast is about to be a year old. So then you look at your podcast and you look at other people's podcasts and you're like, oh my God, they're doing so great. They have some of the reviews and this, that, and the next thing. And it's like, and I hate to say envy because envy sounds so ugly. It doesn't feel good at all. It makes you feel really, really bad. And so I have to remind myself that, you know, it's, like you said, we're in two different lanes. And at the end of the day, you're going to get where you need to get to at your appointed time. Because I'm also, a woman of faith. So I have to always really remember, there's a season for everything. There's a time.
And there's room.
And so being envious or jealous or all, whatever the nice version of envy is, is a distraction.
Yes.
Distraction from the purpose.
That's a good way to look at it, too.
It's a constant, because you never really get over it, so it's a constant renewing and refreshing of the mind, and it's hard, y'all. It is hard.
And I think, too, it's hard when you keep looking on the outside.
Yes.
Right. When you keep looking into somebody else's house and, like, peeping over and seeing all the new stuff that they're buying. But it's like you have to keep in perspective. You're not on the same path as they are. You're not putting in the same work that they're doing, whether good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be comfortable. Like, look, I'm driving my own boat at my own pace.
It's cute. And it's going to get me where I need to go.
You know what I mean?
Might be a toot toot.
But it's mine. It's yours.
Yeah. I think for me, we've established that I'm childish. So after I had Nation, everybody started worrying about him. My mama stopped calling to ask about me. My daddy stopped calling to ask about me. My sister's, oh, where's Nation? Hi, how are you? I had a good day.
Thanks for asking.
So I think I'm the first child. So, everybody's like, oh, the first baby. But now it's like, where's Nation? I'm just like, hi, I'm okay. So I think I've just had to readjust to not being everybody's world.
Oh my God. That
is so funny.
I gotta get over it. I told you it was childish.
Literally childish. Okay, so for me, I think this is gonna sound so, I hope she's not listening. Okay, whatever. Ooh. My sister-in-law's hips.
Oh,
okay.
That's real too.
She's 23,
and she got,
and she's got like
she got
let
body,
me think.
She got body,
just body today. And I used to have some. I mean, I still have a little bit, but
yeah, you got it.
Listen, thank you, boo.
Look at that girl.
So much so, guys. No. We're gonna dismantle this. So much so that I bought some hip. What's it called? What do you call it? Hip. Hip pads.
I know what you're talking about. Did they work?
Right. Exactly. And yes, they did.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It was a success.
They don't need to know. No, they don't need to know the details.
Right. Feel good.
I bought them because I was slightly feeling whatever about myself. It's so crazy how our minds work. And then I was like, oh, but this is funny. And I sent pictures to my sister of me in an outfit. And I was like, tell the difference. And she's like, wait, when you got snatched? And I was like, I've always been snatched. And so, anyways, and I slipped them off and I returned them to Amazon. So, yeah, that was the last. I'm very content now.
You just needed that moment. That's all you needed. That's it.
The culture infiltrated my mind. All the Kardashian tomfoolery. Maybe I too.
That was like a collective
sigh.
Jesus. Don't even bring them up.
I know. Let's not. No play on the show. Yes. Okay. We got to move on. Okay. Let's see. Okay. That said, what is the grossest thing you've ever had in your mouth?
Well, no. Oh, so no.
No. No.
Y'all are childish.
Okay. Okay. A little deep. What was the last thing you stopped believing in?
What was the last thing you stopped believing in?
Immediately, I wanted to say our government, but maybe that's too. That's going down the
dark path. I mean.
I don't know if we're going to get into politics like that, but I've been having a crisis of the mind about the state of our government and our politics and our country. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where we're going to end up. Sometimes I've told some of my friends that sometimes I wake up and I don't recognize the country we're in. It feels
like a movie.
Yes. It feels like a movie. It feels something different than what we've known, than what, like, the ideals of what we've believed in and what the possibilities are. And it's really scary to know that, you know, the generation that's coming behind us is going to potentially be experiencing a world that's completely different.
Right.
I mean, and that's an inevitable, but is that a positive thing or a negative thing is what I worry about.
Right. Yeah.
This is going to sound really, like, maybe polarizing or I don't know, but I'm just going to say it. Like, the government is treating everybody like black people at this point. Mm. That's where it's heading. It feels like everybody, it's about the 1%. Mm-hmm. Constantly, and everybody else, forget them. It's not about them.
No one else matters.
No one else matters. We want our world, and we being the government, to look like, to serve us, not everybody else. And I mean, it can be controversial, but I mean, it just is what it is. The systems in place, the policies, they're not for the everyday person. It's to serve the greater 1%.
And that leaves out a lot of people. That's what's frightening about it.
Any thoughts down there?
Mm. Right. Mm.
I took it too deep, y'all. I know it's going to happen eventually. Right. I apologize.
We could not escape it. Sorry. I guess I would say the last thing that I stopped believing in, I don't know how deep I want to. For me personally, I will not say that this has to do with everyone else, but for me personally, I've stopped believing in my place in corporate America.
Oh,
okay. That's a good one.
I hear that.
I still, I still have a job. I'm still in corporate America, but I think in the long run, I've stopped believing that that's where I'm going to stay, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair.
That's all good. Right. I feel like we all share that same sentiment in terms of, like, believing in the world that we live in. For me, it's like, I just stopped believing in the systems that are in place. They weren't created to serve somebody like me.
And
it feels really sad because it's like you feel like you don't have anywhere to fall back in or fall back on. You kind of are just like
it's
creating a shelter for yourself.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. And it's very scary.
It's exhausting, too.
Yeah, especially like, you know, having children. And having a black boy
lives
in America, it's like, how do I have a conversation with a child? And you have to do it early before you can say, "Oh, I'll wait till he's a teenager."
No, that's too late.
He is like 4 years old, can talk to know. Like, look, keep your hands where they can see you. Don't make any sudden movements. Like,
that kind of conversation for a 4-year old,
and it's really
intense. It's heartbreaking to have that.
Yeah, I saw this video on the Shade Room last night. Or this morning of this 4-year-old girl, and she's like, her hairdresser's doing her
hair. Can we talk about that?
And I it brought me to tears, actually.
Go ahead, I'll let you say it.
She's like, the girl is doing her hair, and like, she catches a glimpse of herself in the camera, and like, I'm so ugly.
Oh,
she's 4 years old. She's like, I'm so ugly, and her hairdresser's like, wait, what? Why would you say that? And like, she starts to encourage her. The little girl breaks down in tears. It is literally the most heart-wrenching video.
At four, she's already gotten that message.
She's already gotten that message. Dark-skinned, beautiful little girl, got locks in her hair, and looks into the camera and sees herself and says, I'm so ugly. And it's just like, that's the system that we live in. That's telling our little black girls that they are ugly.
Yes. Right.
How can she not feel like that?
Can I be honest with you? I remember having that experience very similarly when I was a young girl. I was about 8 years old. I went for the first time on vacation with my family to Jamaica. We're Jamaican. And I went out and played in the sun all day. And I came inside and I looked in the mirror and started immediately breaking down crying. Because I was like 3 shades darker.
You had gotten a tan.
Wow. Yeah, I got in a tan, essentially.
Right. Absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely.
And it was like, I was like, I'm black.
Ooh,
that's what I said. God. I'm dark and black.
Yeah.
And my mom's fairer than me. And like, just colorism and like what society is telling our little girls.
Yeah.
I now have a 5-year-old daughter. She's obsessed with long blonde hair.
And she's so beautiful.
She's absolutely beautiful. Okay. Has the most beautiful smile, everything. She wants her hair to be long and straight. Mommy, how can I have hair all the way down my body?
Wow.
How come my hair has to be curly like this? What do I have to do to make it like
straight?
And I wear my hair straight occasionally, but I have to be careful with
that.
Yeah.
Because she's like, gonna look and say, you
yeah,
do
she's
it.
Like, mommy yeah, does I'm like, it. Baby, mm-hmm. and I tell her, your hair can do that too one day, but you're too young. But like the point is she's looking at herself and questioning everything, all of her features. Mommy, her smile's a little bit darker because like, you know, our gum lines can be darker sometimes. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know what that's why it is, but she's like, Mommy, I don't like my smile. Like,
aww.
And I'm just like, God, like, please help me.
It's like, and the thing about it is, it's not going to change anytime soon.
No.
Because even though there's awareness now and people are starting to have these conversations, the people that are still in control of the messages that we're receiving in media do not look like us, and they are not
100%.
Trying to serve us.
100%.
And we don't have control of that industry enough where we can take back the message. So we are going to continue to have those conversations with our children until we can reclaim our own narratives in a real way.
Yep. You know, because, I mean, even when you think about children and the movies they're watching these animated films, they're watching Frozen. We had Princess Tiana.
Yes.
She was a frog for 90%.
She's the only princess that had a job.
And she was a frog for 90% of the movie.
It's just like, what kind of message are you sending to my child that she has to be a frog to become
a princess?
Cinderella and all the blind
you
girls.
Like, locked down all the media and you didn't. You know, you're like me growing up. My parents were like, no television during the week. You still go to school.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the kids are going to be impacted by, like, all of the other kids who do watch all of the media and are bringing in all of their impressions and their culture. And all the messages their parents are giving them.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the worst thing about it, too, is, like, our generation, we are the last one that remembers what life was like before being tethered to our phones and social media.
Yes.
Children now... My 15-year-old sister lives on her phone.
They have iPads.
Everything comes from what media is telling them. Everything is, oh, well, so-and-so does that. Well, Kylie Jenner does this now.
Oh, Jesus.
So, and it's just like, what? This is where their world is. Mm. Everything comes from the internet, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat.
Chat,
all of that is where they're getting who they need to be.
Yes.
Their identity is being curated by culture, and we cannot stop it until we have a real control of the messages being sent out.
Yeah.
That's good. Woo, that one hit.
Yeah. Deep.
Okay. I think we have time for like two more questions, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. What's one decision you've made in your life that you wish you could undo?
Ooh.
One decision.
I don't know if I want to answer this
question. Okay.
I don't know. I've made it a rule for myself to not live in regret.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if I would undo anything, because undoing something, like if I'd gone to a different school or said yes when I said no, it wouldn't have, I might not have been on this stage right now with all of you.
Yeah. That's true.
So I don't know. I feel like everything we do, whether we think it's a bad decision or not, or whether we think it's something we would have done or not, brings us to the next place where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree.
I think I have two.
Okay.
Go for it.
And I think this speaks to the larger like culture that we live in. I wish I had paid my $25 credit card bill when I got a Dillard's credit card in college. I didn't understand.
That's fair.
I didn't understand
no
how credit
you.
Worked. And so I was like, I'll pay it back eventually. Like, da da da.
Now, and then it racked
like
up.
10 years later, my credit is still suffering from that. So I wish I had better like knowledge of how credit worked. Because the bill was $25.
Yeah,
and I was
like, I'll just wait.
And the other thing, though, is like I studied abroad in college, and I only did one semester. And every time I think about it, I wish I had spent the year. Because there was just so much to see and so much to do. And I was like, well, no, I want to get back to Spelman. And I'm like, nah, bro, I should have stayed for the year.
Where'd you go?
I went to Ghana.
Nice.
I loved it. It was so beautiful. Yeah. And then while I was there, I visited Togo. Only spent one night. It was scary.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was a beautiful experience that I wish I had more time with.
Yeah.
Those are good ones. Those are good ones to regret.
Yeah. I'm going to skip that one.
Yes, that's why I kept quiet. I was like,
And actually, I would like to ask the last question.
Oh, you better. You better
go.
Well, no, just because this is a question I ask all my guests on my show at the end.
Okay.
So what does living your best life look like?
I like this question because I'm an idealist. So let me just play in my fantasy world of perfection. Living my best life would be this. It would be literally just being able to use my voice and use, you know, all of me to encourage other people, to inspire people, to be real, authentic, to have conversation in every capacity and avenue that I can, whether it's with my children and we're dancing and we take a break and we're just talking about how, reminding my daughter how beautiful she is and how accepted she already is, or whether it's with a group of women, whether it's with a middle-aged man in the middle of podcast, you know, a podfest, and we're talking, whatever it is, like just being able to, I think it goes back to that question we had about, you know, what do you want to be known for when you die? It's like what fulfills me? And that's what fulfills me is like living in community, living in conversation, and living in authenticity. So that's my best life challenge. And I'm living it right here with
y'all.
Yes.
You are. Yes.
I think for me, I'm a creative person. So as long as I'm making things, I'm being creative, that is my best life. Like, I just feel like every molecule in my body is activated when I'm on a stage or writing or doing something like this. Yeah. So, you know, part of what I said before was about, like, releasing all the other stuff that doesn't make me feel alive. And making sure that at every moment I am doing things that are making me feel the most alive.
Yeah.
Right.
And so living my best life is doing that, like making sure that I'm making space for those things and then spreading that energy to other people.
Yeah, that's good. A good answer. Good.
For me, 100%, I always know the answer to this. Living my best life means living in peace. Because yes. I know that my peace affects everything else that I'm doing, or my lack of peace affects everything that I'm doing. And so I'm naturally a very unbothered person, but there was a time in my life where I was without peace. And I don't know if either of you, any of you have been out of peace before. It's the most unsettling, tormenting thing you can deal with mentally and emotionally. And so now I'm in a place, I'm like, I need to be in peace. I need to have peace, because if I have peace, everything else can just reflect and move in a peaceful way. So I just need peace. I need my peace.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
That's good.
I love it. Any last words? Any, like, one piece of advice you want to leave out into the world? Anything? Any last 30-second word? You didn't answer your own question. Go ahead.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
I kind of echo Ella's sentiments. Creating, being creative and connecting to that part of myself. That is my best life, and it inspires so many other parts of me, and it helps me to be a better mom, a better wife, a better faith-based person.
Uh-huh.
It just makes me better when I can be creative. So whether it's writing or whatever I'm doing, just being in that space mentally, that's living my best life, for sure.
That's good.
Okay. I just thank you ladies so much?
Thank you.
Look, this, we went from so nice. Strangers to kindred.
Yes.
Shows the power of owning and sharing our stories and how we can connect with each other. Just like literally just sharing space and making space for each other to show up. So thank you guys for joining me on this.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right, you guys, it is a wrap. Thank you so much again for joining me on this special bonus episode of the Inkfully podcast. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed that conversation just as much as we did. We had so much fun, y'all, and I hope you felt like you were right there on the stage just hanging with us, in conversation with us. That's how we like to do it around here. So listen, before I go, I want to shout out the girls that were on the stage with me. They're also fellow podcasters. So first up is Martina Lindo. Martina is the host of the Full Bloom podcast, and you can find her on the gram at _MartinaChristian, and that's _MartinaKristian. Next up is my girl Ella Tareen. Ella is the host of Fawn on Films podcast, and you can find her on the gram at Black Woman, and that's spelled Black, and then Woman is spelled WOMYN. Last but not least is Shianopa. Shianopa is the co-host of the High Key Woke podcast, and you can find her on the gram at Nopa, and that's spelled _NOOPAA_. All right, you guys, thank you so much again for tuning in.
Do me a favor, if you enjoyed this episode or any other episodes, if you're a fan of the Inkfully podcast, please rate and review this in your Apple podcast or wherever it is that you get your podcast. It would mean so much to me. It helps other people to find this show. And last but not least, always come hit me up on Instagram. I would love to hear your thoughts on the show. Send me a screenshot of you listening, all the things. You can find me on Instagram at Inkfully. Okay, have an amazing rest of your day. And as I always say, live well, love well, and Inkfully. Peace.